got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like
Welcome back.
That. Why's it gotta be all white or all black?
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. So speaking of Professor Paul H. Fry and the clip that I, you know, that's just always rattling around in the back of my mind, this is it. Go ahead, please.
As we get into social perspectives on literature and art, you may ask yourself, out of idle curiosity or perhaps even peevishly, why Marx? Why so much Marx? Why is it Marx who seems to stand behind the idea that the social criticism of art is the best and most relevant way to approach this subject matter?
It's not just art and literature either. It's everything. It's that germ or that kernel of critical theory that then infects every aspect of a person's life, and people don't realize that. Anyway, that's it. You may ask yourself, out of idle curiosity, or perhaps even peevishly, why Marx? Why so much Marx? So that's the clip that I was talking about.
Exactly. And I tell you, the more I learn about Marx, the more reprehensible the man seems to be. I mean, he was, you know, for everything from personal hygiene to hatred and science. I heard the one remark recently where they asked him about, you know, targeting the West and that sort of thing. And supposedly he gave an answer that said it. You know, this is his sort of like his pound of flesh, his vengeance for the Roman overthrow of Israel in 70 AD.
And speaking of that, you know, one provocative entry on the historical landscape, at least for me, was JFK's infamous, you know, people call it secret society speech, his address before the American Newspaper Publishers Association in 1961. He opened by saying, you may remember that in 1851, the New York Herald Tribune, under the sponsorship and publishing of Horace Greeley, employed as its London correspondent an obscure journalist by the name of Karl Marx. And so, you know, he said... I don't know. We should just play that, actually. Maybe we'll play that in a little bit. But he said when the financial appeals were refused for Marx because, you know, he was paid a paltry sum, Marx looked around for other means of livelihood and fame, eventually terminating his relationship with the Tribune and devoting his talents, as JFK put it, full-time to the cause that would bequeath to the world the seeds of Leninism, Stalinism, revolution, and the Cold War. So, you know, he said, if only this capitalistic New York newspaper had treated him more kindly.
There may be some validity to that, but I think there's something much, much bigger going on in the background.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's kind of why I mentioned it. I feel like he was sort of hinting at what you just said, as he made his cheeky remark.
Yeah, he was. And what was it? Some of his children committed suicide, or at least attempted, and things like that. And just what sort of, you know, to be in this man's presence on a regular basis? What, you know, How horrible was that?
You know, the question from there, I think the obvious immediate question is, why have we subjected our, you know, generations of brilliant young minds to this? Why would we do that?
Right, right. And that plus the how did they manage to succeed, these tyrants who rise from obscurity mm-hmm. to evil mm-hmm. greatness, whether it's Hitler or Stalin or I still think, you know, Lenin is being the more bookish academic one, I guess, and then mm-hmm. we see the really horrific killers, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot,
yeah,
you know, the ones who really rack up the tens of millions of deaths.
Yeah.
And yet we never see it. We never see it coming. We just never see it coming.
Well,
I think.
Yeah. Lenin, Trotsky, I feel like, you know, if you're going down that road, then, you know, Anthony Sutton comes into view quickly. But, you know, you have, speaking of the bookish folks, you have,
what's his name? You mentioned Lenin and Trotsky, like when they were apprehended by the Canadians, and then the U.S. involvement and mm-hmm. and the rise of the Bolsheviks and stuff like that. It's like these guys, the Canadians, grabbed these guys and had them. Mm-hmm. The U.S. State Department had them, cut them loose.
Yep.
You know, so
which was a fact that was validated in Major Jordan's diaries, and that Sutton went on to prove unequivocally. Astonishing. And the one other thing I was going to say is, you know, when speaking of, the intellectual class that wants to infect young people with the idea that socialism and communism just haven't been tried right, I would agree. It's a religious kind of devotion, and it has been tried right. You just, you know, it's a counterfeit religion, and it was tried right in Acts chapter 2. The Pentecostal moment was the right way to do it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is leading there, and, you know, there's this other character leading this other stuff, which is why they keep saying, oh, it hasn't been tried right. Well, actually, it has. You know, John 10:10, the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what this always results in, because the God of war is the one at the head of it, which is why I read from Genesis 6 today. Violence, the earth was filled with violence. So
the and, you know, this idea of God being heartbroken about all this. I mean, or you look at the history of, Argentina or Venezuela and stuff like that. This is the fruit, you know, this is the fruit of this ideology and the destruction of the people. And, far too often we end up somehow this is rooted in, a benevolent ideology that it's really for everybody's own good. It's like, it never seems to work out that way.
Imagine that. What a surprise.
Yeah.
It always works out the same way. It never works out well, but always the same way. Imagine that. What a surprise.
We look at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness after his 40-day fast, and Satan offering him all the kingdoms of the earth, you know, and I'm always struck when people speak on this and point out, you know, that Jesus didn't refute him by saying, they're not yours to offer. He said, just don't tempt Lord thy God, you know, and mm-hmm. fortunately, Jesus knew he's going to end up with all that anyway. he's the creator and the sustainer and the redeemer and the judge, and ultimately, now he has the keys of Thanatos and Hades, and he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And it's actually kind of ironic that it will be a benevolent monarchy that solves a problem, not a constitutional republic, not a democracy, not a socialist state, but a benevolent monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Against which ultimately humans will rebel again, led by Satan at the end of it all. It's just very, it's very ironic. It just shows you the depth and breadth and pervasiveness of sin and what we always end up doing to each other. It's just, mm-hmm. no wonder God's heart is broken, you know?
How easily beguiled mankind is.
Yeah, it's just a mess.
The other character I was thinking of is Nikolai Bukharin. Speaking of the bookish
fellows.
Bukharin is, you know, if you want to really get into just kind of a straightforward, in-your-face, the Marxist-Leninist bent, and, you know, like you said, I don't know, Spengler's Decline of the West kind of thing, you know, just like right out in plain view, Bukharin is, in my opinion, somebody who does that fairly straightforward. But it's, you know, like you said about Marx, I mean, to read Bukharin, you just feel like you have to shower after everything you read. So,
yeah, exactly.
The ABCs of communism. It's just that simple, comrades. Anyway.
You mentioned the perfectibilists before. Mm-hmm. You're perfecting us unto death, you know?
Yeah.
And I think something like that would be I'm very concerned about this modern rise of dominionism and Christianity, of thinking mm-hmm. that we the church will somehow help set everything in order or bring about God's remnant and get everything all fixed before we hand it over to Christ. It's like no. We're the ones who broke it. Everything we do to try and fix it only makes it worse. No, he's going to fix it. We're not going to fix it for him and bring about the dominion
that's at the heart of the conversation that I want to have, you know, in respect to that, you know, all of that that you mentioned, but also, you know, when you said millennialism and, you know, we should have that conversation, it's kind of the backdrop of all of it. And Pike's letter to Mazzini comes into view, Nesta Webster's World Revolution, the plot against civilization, things that were discussed in there. But, you know, and Pike's letter to Mazzini, World War III in particular, colliding this political Zionism against political Islam, I would say, and destroying everything all at once, simultaneously, and leaving the vacuum for the satanic one world religion to rise to preeminence. It's interesting, you know, what you mentioned is why I mentioned the article last week, from, what was it, June 29th, in The Hill, Kinzinger hits back at Boebert's church and state remarks. And so Adam Kinzinger said, we must oppose the Christian Taliban. And I'm sure there are, you know, folks who would call themselves Christians in America who would say, oh, how dare he? But they don't realize how accurate that statement is. I mean, are you going to a place that has that six-pointed star on the stage next to the American flag and those two things? You know, have you heard of the book, It Can't Happen Here, and the old cliche that when fascism comes to America, it'll be wrapped in a flag carrying a cross. They don't understand. And I think that with all of these, you know, these, I don't know, whatever you call them, I don't know what you call them, but these ideas that we've been sort of indoctrinated with, it gets us focusing on man and conflict and not God and peace. You know, the Bible says, as you know, as we know, the Bible says that he is the God of peace. So
on the one hand, we have blessed are the peacemakers, you know, they'll be called the children of God. On the other hand, they will say peace, peace, but there will be no peace.
But not, you know, it's not the same group of people, though, who are saying.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And so we have all this stuff occurring, but all the controversy over Israel and Zionism and Judaism and all this sort of thing, and I think of Jesus saying to them, you know, I come in my Father's name, and me you will not receive. Another will come in his own name, and him you will receive.
Yeah.
And so it's not to say that God isn't eventually going to accomplish something, you know, with Israel and Jerusalem. But I mean, again, they've, you know, blindness has happened to them in part, and you know, they've been gathered back into the land in unbelief, and there's all this horrible stuff. There's going to be, you know, a time of Jacob's trouble. God's always wrestling, you know, to get his back, you know, his people back to him, whether you're talking about the Jews or the Christians. You know, why is the church always having to be revived? You revive something that's dying or fainting. I just think there's a lot of Sturm and Drang and you know, strife to be gone through yet, and you know, I find it very lamentable, but I also know that I really weary of all the eschatological hype and speculation, and it's like, wow, it's contrary to. I can understand now why you know, certain preachers and denominations are hesitant to delve into prophecy or eschatology and stuff like that, because you know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Right.
The only thing, you know, the agape love of God, and God drawing men to himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a bit rambling this morning, sorry. But I mean, it's just all of these, whether we're talking about Bill Cooper or communist philosophers or whatever, that's... you know, the overarching dynamic of sin undoing us, you know, it's, and I would love to see, a grassroots movement of, you know, people, you know, on their knees, crying out to God, beating their breasts, rending their garments, although they're really like the rending the garments thing is, you know, but, clothes are expensive. Probably best not to be ripping them all the time.
Well, especially in an inflation-based economic scheme, they become more expensive, or, you know, so it seems.
Yeah, I have to keep taking my shirts over to have buttons put back on and stuff. But anyway, I guess that's all I was thinking of. The Bill Cooper thing kind of popped into my head. That's why I originally called. But
yeah, I'll look into that. I pulled up some stuff during the last break. So maybe we'll be able to vet that a little bit.
Yep. All right, sir. Well, God bless you. Have a good week. And
thanks, Glenn. You too.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Much appreciated. Yeah. Conflict. Let's see. Alan Watt, Bill Cooper. I found a few clips. Maybe we'll do that. But I want to play that bit that JFK mentioned, maybe when we come back from the break here in a minute. Interesting remarks that JFK had concerning Karl Marx to open that famous secret society speech. Why did he mention Marx? Think about it. You know, he's talking about communism, but is it just communism? We've asked the question many times historically since 1961. So maybe we'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April. My husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW. Need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie. It works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC. Great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Remarks of the President to the American Newspaper Publishers Association, Waldorf Astoria Hotel, New York City, April 27, 1961.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate very much your generous invitation to be here tonight. You bear heavy responsibilities these days. And an article I read some time ago reminded me of how particularly heavily the burdens of present-day events bear upon your profession. You may remember that in 1851, the New York Herald Tribune, under the sponsorship and publishing of Horace Greeley, employed as its London correspondent an obscure journalist by the name of Karl Marx. We are told that foreign correspondent Marx, stone broke, and with a family ill and undernourished, constantly appealed to Greeley and managing editor Charles Dana for an increase in his munificent salary of $5 per installment, a salary which he and Engels ungratefully labeled as the lousiest petty bourgeois cheating. But when all his financial appeals were refused, Marx looked around for other means of livelihood and fame, eventually terminating his relationship with the Tribune and devoting his talents full-time to the cause that would bequeath to the world the seeds of Leninism, Stalinism, revolution, and the Cold War. If only this capitalistic New York newspaper had... had treated him more kindly. If only Marx had remained a foreign correspondent, history might have been different. And I hope all publishers will bear this lesson in mind the next time they receive a poverty-stricken appeal from a small increase in the expense account from an obscure newspaper man.
There you go. I wonder if JFK was familiar with W.T. Stead's, William Thomas Stead's, Government by Journalism. I bet he was. I'm sure that the some of the folks at the CIA and other alphabet soups are as well. So the lousiest petty bourgeois cheating, you know, before we go into the break again here, it's interesting that, you know, this particular ideological bent is not, you know, when you look at Marx and Engels, were they enterprising young fellows or were they, I mean, they're the sort of grifters that they spoke out against, ironically, and, you know, plagiarists and, coattail riders, etc., not innovative, not creative themselves. And I think that's the big rub for them that really is kind of at work in themselves, the double-mindedness or the cognitive dissonance that is sort of their own undoing. Anyway, I think it's ironic that, you know, the munificent salary of $5 per installment being labeled as the lousiest petty bourgeois cheating. You see this, the folks with the same Marxist bent saying the same thing about $15 an hour now is, you know, not enough to, you know, sustain life, basically. It's not enough for subsistence. We don't need a second job or third job, we need a living wage. And so, you know, Marxists of the world unite. So it's ironic, but if you listen to folks like Thomas Sowell or Milton Friedman or, you know, any economist worth their salt, that's not the way to get ahead individually or collectively as a society. But, you know, if you're lazy and unimaginative and vicious and short-sighted, then I guess that's the only answer that you have. So it's unfortunate. Anyway, darker forces were at work. It wasn't just Marx himself and there's ghostwriting, it seems, in one form or another. I would say, in the same fashion that we know about Alice Bailey, that's what I would say. You know, works credited to Alice Bailey. What do you mean? Well, it was a received work. What do you mean? Well, you know, her head was tilted back and her eyes were rolled back in her head and she was scribbling furiously. So that's, you know, that's what I'm talking about. I guess we're skipping the break. So we will go to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome. Brad, sorry we missed you. Feel free to call back.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Your first half hour of your info really helped me a great deal. Kind of knocked me off my high horse and gave me poise, pause for thought and introspection, and very unhappy with myself. But you covered a lot of ground, and you covered a lot of ground with Glenn and Philly. You can't take just three verses out of the Bible and prove everything. Every word in that Bible, King James Bible, what we're supposed to know, or try to understand and know. All the verses I'm going to mention is in Revelation. In chapter 13 of Revelation, not only shows, but names the first beast of Revelation, the second beast of Revelation, and the false prophet. Now, people go on continually about communism. I disagree. It's not going to be communism, it's going to be fascism. Because the first beast has said, and it's written, he wrote it down, that he favored fascism. And what fascism is where international businesses corroborate with the state and they give money to the state and the state gives them the freedom and the power to organize their power that they can buy up any small fry entity corporation and take
well,
it over.
I would offer a point of clarification, if I may.
Sure, please do.
I think I heard Rachel Campos Duffy say something. What was it? It was when I think Tammy Bruce guest hosted was it Hannity? I think she guest hosted Hannity or something in the last week or two. Tammy Bruce and Rachel Campos Duffy was part of a panel of folks on a particular issue. Anyway, Rachel Campos Duffy said something to the effect of, you know, it's the Chinese model, it's capitalism. It's basically what I thought of Larry McDonald when she said what she said in his, what was it, the intro to None Dare Call It Conspiracy, I think, where he said, you know, am I talking about communism? Well, no. He said, you know, the marriage of super capitalism and communism all under the same umbrella. And so she was saying, you know, it's the Chinese model where, you know, you have capitalism for the billionaires and socialism for everybody else. And so it's kind of, it's, you know, is it fascism? Is it socialism? Is it feudalism? It's yes. The answer is yes. And it's all wrapped up in communitarianism. It's a feudalist system of conflict, but definitely fascist in a particular sense, definitely super capitalist, definitely socialist for the plebs. It's kind of D all of the above, I would say.
Yes. That's a good description of it. And where it says in the Bible that the city on seven hills was falling and all the ships at sea, which in my mind represents all the fascist capitalists. Billionaire companies and people, which will be a small minority, they wept when the city of Seven Hills was falling. But it says to go on these three verses, which, you know, I've repeated quite often, all in Revelation 12, verse 17. The remnant. That's us right now, the remnant. And into the near future, they will be saved. That doesn't mean that a lot of them will die, be incarcerated, tortured, and killed. But the remnant that is still standing, they will see Christ return. That's right after the people that died in Christ. That's only one death. They came out first, and then there with the living remnant, see Christ return. But chapter 14:12 says, go back to chapter 12:17, who will be saved, the remnant that keep the commandments of God. What is the commandments of God? Question.
You asking me?
Yes.
Well, it's the 10, but, you know, you could boil it down to the 2 that Jesus said, you know, when he was asked, what is the greatest? And he said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, I always count that as the 11th commandment. But, yes, and you bring it out quite often. But still, would you agree to this? The 10 commandments still stand. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
Right. So going on to Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, the people or the remnant that will be saved, they keep the commandments of God. And to keep the commandments of God, they would love their neighbor as themselves. And they have the faith of Jesus.
Well, if I could interject again briefly, in these times, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before, and you said that the beginning of today's broadcast was convicting, which was basically Today's entry from Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, or at least my edition of it, and this idea that, you know, if we, to summarize, you know, he says the one thing that keeps us from the possibility of worrying is bringing God in as the greatest factor in all our calculations. And he says love is not ignorant of the existence of evil, but it does not take in does not take it in as a calculating factor. Apart from God, we do reckon with evil. We calculate with it in view and work all our reasonings from that standpoint. And that's the challenge. That's why with all of this other stuff, like the some of the stuff that Glenn and I were talking about, and these, you know, the Marxes, the Lenins, the Nikolai Bukharins, and all of that stuff, it becomes challenging. And I mentioned the documentary, basically, that Aaron and Melissa Dykes just did, America's Early Civil Rights Case, You Probably Weren't Taught, which I think sort of, I mean, when we started COVID, I said, we're getting the Africa treatment in America, we're getting the Palestine treatment, we're getting the Native American treatment, we're getting the indigenous people of the North American continent treatment. And so, you know, the that last bit is the subject matter in Aaron and Melissa Dykes' video, America's Early Civil Rights Case, You Probably Weren't Taught. And if I remember correctly, it's basically the, you know, the Ponca Indians of Oklahoma in particular, and their chief being forced by American or United States courts to prove that he's a person, which is interesting. But the so with, I mean, you can watch the video, and folks can watch the video and see, you know, the story. But to what you're saying, the point is, we can wax philosophical about these things all we want, but when the moment arrives that we are put upon and we are afflicted and so forth, it becomes incredibly challenging, especially with our American DNA, I would say, not to want to, you know, rise up in the flesh, so to speak, in Marxist sort of fashion and perpetrate violence on folks who are probably just our fellow sufferers.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you, and you went on quite a spell there. But to reiterate your first 30 minutes of your info, I don't want to call it a program. That's that, when I use that, it's a derogatory remark, and I don't know how to say the, another term for show.
Broadcast, or maybe? Broadcast?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good word. Thank you. Not to get off the subject, where, or I am, and most Christians are aware of evil. But how did you say it? And please give me some time to cover more ground. They don't take it into account. Now, how did you say that? In other words, we're aware of evil. I'm aware of evil. Acutely aware.
Well, the way that Oswald Chambers put it in today's entry for My Utmost for His Highest, Don't Calculate Without God, he said, you know, and I'm just, if this is the just a brief excerpt, but he said the one thing that keeps us from the possibility of worrying is bringing God in as the greatest factor in all our calculations. And then he said, love is not ignorant of the existence of the evil, but it does not take it in as a calculating factor. Apart from God, we do reckon with
you there.
Yeah.
Well, let me stop you there. But but don't take it in as a mitigating circumstances, or however you worded it. Repeat that again. They don't
love
take
is not,
it in.
Love is not ignorant of the existence of the evil, but it does not take it in as a calculating factor.
Right, right. And
And that's easier said than done. That was my point about saying all of that.
Right.
Other
right.
stuff.
And I've had a big problem with that.
Especially with our American DNA, because we are convinced from birth, essentially, that, you know, we have a divine right to American exceptionalism and, you know, might makes right. We've been convinced. I mean, look at the United States military.
Well, I wouldn't use the term DNA, but probably your history, if you go back to great, if you want to go clear back to Adam and Eve, yes, that's where we came from. Creation of Christ created Adam and Eve, so therefore they are our mother and father. But we have been programmed and influenced for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we are so programmed that we can't think in godly, Christly, biblical terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe strongly that all the Christian churches, Catholics and Protestants, and all the other isms churches, have been infiltrated by evil people. And when the Reformation of Martin Luther in 1517, 505 years ago, all the churches in Europe at the time agreed on who the first beast of Revelation was. But they didn't know who the second beast of Revelation. But they knew that he was coming. Now, actually, I can't recall his name in England, but he predicted and said the same things that Martin Luther said and when he nailed his thesis to the church door in 1570. In other words, for the next 50, 60, 70 years, they all agreed, the different religions, and I won't name them all because I don't remember them all, that they knew who the first beast was, but they didn't know who the second beast was. And the second beast didn't show up until 1798. That's 1260 days, or 42 months, or 1260 years. And the starting date was 538 A.D., 1260 years prophecy ended in 1798. And then 37 years, 29 and 2, 31 years later, when who was the fascist leader of Italy at the time? The name escapes me. But he formed a
Benito
coalition.
Mussolini.
Mussolini. He formed a relationship with Nazi Germany and Hitler. And Reagan and President Reagan and Tinkowitz I don't know the date for sure, but maybe 19, whenever he was first in office, he recognized the first peace for Rome and as a comparable to an autonomous state, such as the United States, Russia, China. I'm getting two rings on my... But anyhow, go to chapter 19, verse 10.
We're running short on time, and we're headed into a break.
I'll cover this. 19:10.
We're headed into a break. Hold that thought. By the way, housekeeping, the quote that I mentioned, Larry McDonald, was from the introduction to The Rockefeller File, Gary Allen's other book. So stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. I think, you know, to your point, Fred, people are aware of evil, but not the full extent, not to the fullest extent. I think, you know, there's a reason, for example, Francis Fukuyama opens our post-human future consequences of the biotechnology revolution with a quote from Nietzsche, the will to power, section 960, enough, the time is coming when politics will have a different meaning, which reminds me of the character Kario in Kiss of the Dragon when he says, there's a time for diplomacy and a time for action. Diplomacy is dead. And, you know, I've mentioned in the past Ezra Pound's observation that the technique of infamy is inventing two lies and getting you arguing heatedly over which one is true. I think it's basically this Nietzschean anti-Christ sort of mindset that people have been indoctrinated into, and they think, well, you know, in Huxley's Brave New World, there's the alphas, the betas, the gammas, etc., so why not be an alpha? But that's not, you shouldn't even be in that mindset at all.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to make the statement, and let me talk so I can get it out. The explanation. You said back, I don't know, a week or two, 3 weeks, or whatever, you didn't want to see the church controlling the state. I absolutely, totally agree. Now, Revelation chapter 19, verse 10 says, the remnant will keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is prophecy. Now, I'm going to speak prophecy. I'm not a prophet, but I'm reading prophecy from the Bible. And it says the church and the state will go together, and the church will have the spiritual power, and the state will have the temporal power, or the guns and the bullets and total control physically. So when the church controls the state, which it will, let's prophesize, they will go for the remnant first. But that's been happening right now, and it'll get more acute as the near future goes on. You've got to kill the followers of Christ. That's the remnant. And also the big remnant of the people that died in Christ. Don't fear the first death. Don't fear it, but fear the second death. And go ahead with whatever you want to say.
Well, that's the end of the broadcast, so there you go.
Okay, have a good day.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. Bye. Much appreciated. Again, Brad, sorry we missed you. I'll probably come back to this, you know, our post-human future stuff tomorrow, you know. But I think that it should all be, that whole discussion should be couched under the umbrella of what I mentioned at the beginning of the first hour, so fret not. That's actually the July 4 entry in my atmosphere's highest. Maybe I'll mention that tomorrow. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
We have gun rules changing all over. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The Supreme Court said that New York's arbitrary discretion over concealed carry permits is unconstitutional. This may mean that more states will become shall-issue states, but we shouldn't jump the gun yet. The may-issue states could just pass specific laws restricting who can or can't have a concealed carry permit, removing the decision-making process from the issuing authority. On the same day, 10 Senate Republicans joined the Democrats in passing new gun rules. Some of the new rules are actually common sense. For example, if an 18-year-old wants to buy a gun, then maybe their juvenile record really is relevant. However, I don't like the idea of federal money helping states with so-called red flag laws. I just don't see how due process and red flag confiscations can coexist. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, See this Possum Parabellum.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.